Our text verse this morning is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, where the Bible says, "Who," and that's talking about God, "will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." This morning, I want to use these six verses that we read as our scripture reading, and I want to preach a sermon and remind you of a truth that we need to be reminded of every now and then, a truth that ought to be dear to every one of us. But the truth is that God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. And so that verse says, "Who will have all men to be saved?" Now, in the Bible, in the Greek, in the New Testament, there are two words that are translated into English, will, W-I-L-L. The Greek word, and I don't know if I'll say these right, but I'll take my best shot at them, hermone, which means to take for oneself, to determine. And so let me give you an example. That use of the word will means I will have a double cheeseburger, or I will have ketchup on my double cheeseburger. I'll take it for myself. I'll determine that. The other word that's translated will from the Greek is a word, thelo, T-H-E-L-O. And it means to prefer, wish, or desire. So you might say in the same example, I prefer ketchup, but mustard's okay. Or I prefer a double cheeseburger, but if one of them's not available, a Big Mac's okay. And I'm not advertising McDonald's, that's just the example that came to mind. All right? So in the verse that we read for our text verse, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, it's the Greek word thelo, T-H-E-L-O. And so God is not determining that everybody's going to go to heaven, or God is not determining that everybody's going to be saved. God is desiring, or it's God's wish, or it's God's preference that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. Now, there's a thing called predestination that has a lot of people confused about this truth. It's the teaching that God has determined beforehand that which people are going to be saved and which people are going to be lost. That God has made up his mind before we have anything to do with it, that there's some people going to go to heaven and there's some people going to go to hell. There's verses in the Bible like 1 Peter 1, 2 that talks about the election of God, elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And so God in his foreknowledge, God, because he's God and knows what's going to happen, knows who's going to receive Christ and knows who's going to reject Christ. In his foreknowledge, he knows who's going to reject the gospel and who's going to receive the gospel. God, in his foreknowledge, knows who's going to be saved and knows who's not going to be saved, knows who's going to go to heaven and knows who's going to go to hell. But that does not mean, just because God knows it's going to happen, that God has determined it. God's desire is that everybody be saved. You see, the word predestinate or predestinated is used four times in the Bible. Just four times that word is used. The word elect, elected, or election is used 27 times in the Bible. So those two words, predestinate or predestinated and elect or some form of elect, is used 31 times in the Bible, and people have taken those verses and they've construed this idea, well, God's already decided, God's already determined, there's some people going to go to heaven and there's some people going to go to hell. And yet there are thousands of verses in the Bible, literally thousands of verses in the Bible compared to those 31 that says and teach that God's desire is that everybody go to heaven. Now, God could have decided, because he's God, everybody's going to heaven. Now, and there's some people that teach that. They teach universalism. They teach that God, because God's a God of love, that at some point in time, in the future, he's going to change his mind. He's going to do away with hell, and everybody's going to go to heaven. That's not true either. That's not in the Bible at all. I can't find one verse in the Bible that says God's going to change his mind. In fact, I find verse after verse that says God doesn't change his mind. And so this teaching that everybody's going to be saved, and this teaching that there's already God's already decided that some's going to be saved and some's going to be lost. Look, I agree with the old-time Baptist preacher that said, I believe in election. I believe in election. God has voted for you to go to heaven. Satan has voted for you to go to hell. And the way you vote determines the election. You get to decide the casting vote. That's the kind of election I believe in, that God has elected everybody to go to heaven, but the choice is up to you. As God, he could have said, everybody's going to heaven, but he doesn't want that kind of people. He doesn't want people that he decides for. He wants people that decide for themselves. That's why we are all have that free choice when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. God never forces it on anybody. He never determines and says, hey, everybody's going to be saved or you're going to be saved. His desire, what he wants, his preference is that everybody goes to heaven. And I want to use these six verses that we read from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and show you and remind you that that is God's desire. And I have, let's see, I think I have five things I want to say this morning from these six verses. Again, as to remind us that God's desire, God's will, his preference is that everybody goes to heaven. The first thing is this, the plain statements of the scripture. The Bible says over and over and over again that God's desire is for everybody to go to heaven. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. In other words, he's patient to usward, not willing, again, that same word willing as in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, it's God's intent, God's preference, God's desire, however you want to say it, that nobody perish, that nobody go to hell. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. God's desire is that everybody go to heaven, and even though he doesn't force us to make that decision, even though he doesn't impose his will upon us, he leaves it to us. God has put as many things as he can between the sinner and hell. He put the Bible between the sinner and hell. Look, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to hell. And if you end up going to hell, you're going to step over this book. Because this book has been put on your path in your life to tell you about God. Amen. To tell you about a God who loves you. To tell you about a God who sent his Son to die in your place. And if you go to hell, it's because you're going to step over this book. He's put this book between you and hell. That same God has put the bloody cross between you and hell. The cross upon which his Son died. It stands as a big roadblock. It stands as a big neon sign that says to all men, you don't have to go to hell. My Son shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission of sins. But my Son shed his blood, gave his life. His body was broken so that you don't have to go to hell. He put that between sinners and hell. He put the church, a church like this, that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that you're here this morning, the fact that you're hearing this message, God has ordained that you're not here just by accident. You're not here just by coincidence. You're here because there's a holy God in heaven that doesn't want you to go to hell, and he sent you to this place this morning so you could hear about Jesus Christ. That song that Angie sang, my sin, not in part, but in whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. That's what he's put between you and hell. The cross, his Son, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's put prayer between you and hell. There are people, if you're here today and you don't know Christ as your Savior, there are probably people that are praying for you, begging God to keep you out of hell. Every person has a choice. Every person, God's desire is that everybody go to heaven, but every person has a choice. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says in John 3:16 that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. People don't go to hell because they go to hell because they choose not to believe in Jesus Christ. They don't go to hell because God sends them there. His desire is everybody goes to heaven. They go to hell because they choose not to believe in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. God wants everybody, his will is that everybody go to heaven, and the Bible says it over and over and over very directly. Plain statements from the Bible. Number two, Jesus gave himself a ransom for all. We read it there in verse 6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, the Bible says, and he, Jesus, is the propitiation. Now, a big word. It means to appease. If you do that thing, you appease somebody. You see, God needed to be appeased. God had determined, a holy God had determined and demanded that the wages of sin is death. When Jesus died on Calvary, he died to appease that demand of God. Again, the demand of God was that that sin be paid for by being separated, the sinner be separated from a holy, righteous God. Well, when Jesus died on Calvary, he did that to appease God. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus gave himself a ransom for everybody. He did not pick and choose. He did not say, I'm giving myself for this person, but not that person. He gave himself for every single person. And when he went to the cross, God heaped on him every one of our sins. The sin of every person who's ever lived, the sin of every person that's alive today, the sin of every person that will live in the future. God placed on his son all those sins. And as Jesus was on the cross, he paid for those sins. Amen. And every person that believes can obtain that propitiation. I've said it three times. I'm not going to try it again. Every single person can obtain it for themselves by believing in Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful thought connected to that in verse 5, where it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Just one mediator. He gave himself for the sins of all mankind. He came to ransom all mankind. But there's only one mediator. Not two, not three, just one, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not the church, it's not communion, it's not baptism, it's not anybody else but the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mediator between God and man. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. None other name than the name Jesus Christ. And so God wants everybody to be saved. His will is that everybody be saved. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of truth. That's what it says in the Bible. Direct statements in the Bible. Christ gave himself for all. Number three, he never refused anyone. John 6:37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. A wicked tax collector came, and Jesus took him. A woman with seven devils came. Jesus took her. A leper with a running sore came. Jesus took him. A woman caught in the very act of adultery came, and Jesus took her. a thief dying on the cross for dying a death that he deserved for crimes that he committed came. And Jesus received him. We could go around the room this morning. We could ask for people to share their testimony. And as people shared their testimony, we would see that here today is a group of people that lived different lives, that came from different backgrounds, that came from different situations. And not one person here this morning, not one person I have ever heard of, not one person in all of recorded history has ever come to Christ the way this book says come to him and has been turned away. Not one person. Not one person. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Number four, the Bible says we're to pray for everybody. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Look, God said, I want you to pray for everybody. I want you to pray for everybody to be saved. My desire is for everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth, and so I want you to pray for everybody. Look, if God was going to save everybody anyway, he wouldn't tell us to pray. If God had picked out some to be included and some to be excluded, he wouldn't say, pray for everybody. But the fact that he says, pray for everybody, the fact that he says, pray for everybody, means that his desire is for everybody to be saved and come to that knowledge of truth. Amen. And so he says, I want you to pray for everybody. I'm here today, saved, because I had grandparents and parents and others that prayed for me. You've heard my testimony. I knew I needed to be saved for a long time. I don't think I ever would have done it. I don't think I ever would have gotten saved unless my grandmother had shaken her crooked finger in my face, told me I was a sinner, I was on my way to hell. Unless my mom and my dad prayed for me, unless my other grandma prayed for me, unless my pastor prayed for me, unless my Sunday school teacher prayed for me, they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. I'm here standing before you this morning with my sins forgiven because there were people in my life that prayed for my salvation. And if we knew your testimony, most of you would stand and say the same thing. I am here, saved, on my way to heaven with my sins forgiven because God put people in my life that prayed for me. I read a story a while ago about a mother. Her name was Mrs. Carter. She only had one son. His name was Tom. He was in jail because he stole some pigs and chickens. He wasn't saved. And so one Monday morning, his mom was just convicted about her son. She was worried about him. She said, Lord, I'm going to set aside as much as I can, starting right now, and I'm going to pray that Tom gets saved. I know he's in jail. I know he's hundreds of miles away from home. I know there's nothing that I can personally do to lead him to the Lord, but I can pray. And so she went and did what things she had to do around the house. But she spent the rest of the time on her knees beside her bed praying for Tom. Praying for Tom. She did that Monday. She did that Tuesday. She did that Wednesday. About Wednesday at noon, there came a knock on the door. There was a telegram from the warden at the prison where her son was incarcerated. And it said, Dear Mrs. Carter, I regret to inform you that your son, Tom Carter, has died. He's died. She took that telegram, she went back to her bedroom, she got down on her knees, she put that telegram on the bed. She said, Lord, I don't believe this. I don't believe it. You convicted my heart to pray for my son. I've been praying for him for 2.5 days. I do not believe the fact that this wire says that he's dead. I still believe there's a chance that he can get saved. I'm going to keep praying. She prayed all Wednesday afternoon and through the night. She prayed all Thursday morning. Thursday about noontime, another knock on the door. Same telegraph guy. Gave her another telegram. She opened the telegram. It's from the warden. Said, Dear Mrs. Carter, we're happy to inform you that we have two Tom Carters incarcerated in this prison, and it was the other one that died, not your son. Amen. She took that telegram. She went back to her bedroom. got down on her knees before God, said, God, now I beg you again, save my son. She prayed Thursday afternoon. She prayed all morning on Friday. Friday at noon, another knock at the door. Same telegraph guy, another telegram. She opened that telegram, said, Dear Mrs. This one didn't say Dear Mrs. Carter because it wasn't from the warden. It said, Dear Mom, the Lord's convicted me that last week that I need to get right with him. I want you to know that last night I asked Jesus to be my Savior. You talk about a rejoicing mother. You're talking about a mother that had a holy fit. Prayer works. And God says, I want you to pray for everybody because my desire is that everybody go to heaven. Amen. My desire is that everybody be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. I know there are people here this morning that have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for somebody that you love, somebody that you know, somebody that is in your sphere of influence to get saved. And they've had a hard heart. They've rejected the gospel time after time after time after time. Let me encourage you this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit. You keep praying. You keep begging God. His desire is that whoever you're praying for be saved. Come to the knowledge of truth. You keep praying. There are example after example after example. Talk to Helen this morning. Ask her how long she prayed for her cousin. And her husband. Ask her how many times she begged the Lord for Betty and Harold to be saved. And then let her tell you how they did get saved. Let her tell you. Prayer works. And then number five, we know that God wants everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth because he tells us to go to everybody. In Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. In Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look, if everybody's going to be saved, if God's going to change his mind and do away with hell and take away hell and take everybody to heaven, why would he tell us to go share the gospel with the whole world? If God has picked some and to go to heaven and not picked others, why would he tell us to share the gospel with every creature? He's not going to do away with hell. He's not going to take everybody to heaven. He hasn't picked some and excluded others. His desire is that everybody be saved. His will is that everybody be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And so he says, you go share the gospel with them. You go tell them about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You go tell them that they're sinners and there's a penalty for that sin. And that penalty is to be separated from me. And you tell them that Jesus paid what they owed. You tell them that Jesus paid the price. And you tell them that if they come to Christ and ask him, he'll save them. Amen. He'll save them. He won't turn them away. If they come the way this book says to come, believing in their heart, confessing with their mouth, he'll save them. By the way, he'll do that for you this morning if you're here and you've never done it. You're a sinner. There's a penalty for your sin. You're under condemnation of God this morning if you've never received Christ because of your sin. But he loved you. He sent Jesus to die in your place. And if With the faith that he has given you, if you'll come to him, he'll save you this morning. See, that's what makes a difference. God desires, he wills, that everybody be saved. But the decision is up to us. Bible says in the book of Mark, he that believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That's the choice that we face. Believe and be saved, not believe and be damned. I don't know about you. I like the sound of being saved a whole lot better than I like the sound of being damned. I don't know why anybody in their right mind would choose to go to hell. I don't know why anybody in their right mind would choose not to go to heaven. But people do that because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning, as sincerely as I know how to say it, would you come to Christ? Would you come to Jesus this morning? He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And there is salvation in no other name, none other name given under heaven, given among men under heaven, except his. Jesus. 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 Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is your will, your desire, that we all go to heaven. Thank you, Father, for giving us a free choice. But Father, help us to exercise the judgment that you've given us, the wisdom that you've given us. Help every single person here to decide that not only your will that they be saved, but it's their will as well. And help them to come to Jesus Christ. Even if there's just one here this morning that's never come, I pray, Father, that right now, in this moment, this very moment, they would make that decision to trust Christ and him alone to make things right with you, to get their sins forgiven, washed away, to be justified, to stand before you just as if they've never sinned, to be dressed in the righteousness of Christ, to have a home in heaven forever. Just if there's just one, Father, just one, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just convict them this morning, that you would point them to the Savior, and you would help them to come. We're going to sing a song, and I pray, Father, if they need to do that, that they would come and we could help them. We could take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to our hearts as Christians. Help us to never get over the fact that we're saved, to never get over the fact that we're on our way to heaven with our sins forgiven because of what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. Bless this invitation. If people need to come for other reasons, for baptism, for church membership, you know what's on our hearts, Father. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. We give this invitation to you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.